What an awesome God we serve. Amen, church. Let's just pray right now. Father, we just come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for your awesome word. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to come and to gather here together as like-minded people, Lord God, to come and to worship you this day, to praise you, to sing your praises. Lord, to be here in your spirit, to be in this water hole, Lord, where we can just come and drink from the freely from the waters of life. And Lord, we give you all the praise for it. We thank you, Lord, for this time we have together. We thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for everything that's going out, Lord God, that people today, our lives are going to be changed because we're going to hear the word of God. It's going to change us forever. And we give you praise for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, church, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Excuse me, chapter 13. Proverbs 13, 12. This is a scripture we've been on for the last few weeks, and we're going to stay on it for a while. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. How many of you in here have ever prayed, and you didn't see something happen the way you thought it was going to happen, and you just made your heart sick? Am I in the right house today? Have all of us walked in that before in life? But you see, the next verse says, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. You see, whenever you see God move in your life, you see that he's not just some religious figure. It's not just about stained glass and steeples, that it's not about pews and hymnals, that it's about the living God in your life, the living Christ coming in you and touching your life. When you have a revelation, when you see God touch you in any form of your life, any way, and you know he's real, that becomes a tree of life in you. You know, listen, you can't be. Swayed when you know something's the truth. You can't tell me Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. I don't care what kind of proof you put into it. I don't care what kind of hoopla you'd come up with. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He arose from the grave. He died on a cross for our sins. He paid the price for us all. He is alive and well today, whether we see him in this building or not. His spirit's alive and well, and he's here with us right now. And the same Jesus that walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, Nazareth, and Galilee, the same Jesus that walked those dusty streets and did miracles is the same God that wants to do miracles in your life today. Problem is, we get it wrong. Problem is, we don't ask correctly. Problem is, we don't believe correctly. Problem is, we're watching the weatherman. We're watching the weatherman. The channel, we're watching the Life Channel. I hope there's not a Life Channel. If there is, forgive me. But we're watching the Your Life Channel, and the weatherman comes on and begins to tell you there's going to be stormy days ahead. And you say, oh, there's going to be stormy days ahead. Oh, stormy days ahead, stormy days ahead. Come on. Somebody says something. How many of you have ever, listen, we're so, it's kind of like the old joke, you know, the dog's telling the cat, watch what I can get him to do. And he gets the owner to do something, you know, it's kind of like that. We're very susceptible to do whatever we hear. How many of you ever watched a commercial with food on it and then you got hungry? Or something comes on that's bad news and you're wanting to, you know, freak out and go do, you know, whatever. Y'all with me? How many times do, you know, it's just like I said, we watch the weatherman and God bless the weatherman, but we watch him and then we just go to bed saying what he said was the truth. And he's not even right 50% of the time. It's a great job. You still get paid to be wrong. I've never seen anything like it. If they would get paid by the amount of times that they got things right with whatever happened, maybe they'd change their tune. Amen. If I was a station manager, it's the first thing I'd do, I'd contract. Okay, you're the weatherman. Okay, you know, you got to be right. So we're paying you by the times that you're right. So you have a possibility of getting 365 paychecks in the year, but we're going to average them out. And the ones of times that you're wrong, you don't get paid. Great job. Y'all with me? But the problem is in life is that we walk in things and we don't really understand the Word of God. We don't really understand the principles of the Word of God. And so therefore we don't walk in the things of God because we're not walking in His principles. And then doesn't happen. And so then we automatically turn and think our discouragement because we think, well, God didn't do it. God didn't move. God didn't make it happen. It must be God. When we never stop and think, it might be us. Hello. Look at the person beside you and say, it might be you. So I can't review much more. We'll never get through the rest of the message today. But the last few weeks I've been preaching, it says that when that revelation comes into you and you see that you operate in the principles of God and you see that God moved in your life, then it becomes a tree of life to you. That revelation becomes a tree of life to you. We talked about the tree of life in the garden, that when Adam and Eve had sinned, God said, get them out of the garden because if they eat of the tree of life, they're going to be in this state forever. The tree of life is something that brings life to you forever. And the tree of life for us today in the New Testament is Jesus. He is our tree of life. He's the one that can come into you, and the revelation of who Jesus is in your life can be a continual tree of life feeding you forever. Amen? So we talked about, the next scripture was Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which we touched on last week. And it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Everybody say, Christ lives in me. Now listen to me, I'm preaching this message based upon that Jesus Christ is your Savior. But if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, if you've not asked Him and believed in Him as your Savior, well then, all of this doesn't make any sense to you because you don't understand what salvation means. You only have heard about it. You've only tried to live by doing good. I'm talking about today. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that then He comes to live in you. Now think about this, church. Prior to this, prior to Jesus, man had no chance to walk into the presence of God because if he did, the sin that was on his life would consume him. The goodness of God would consume the sin in our lives, which means you got consumed. Right? So prior to this, if you walk in the presence of God, you would have swept you out in a dustpan. But now because of the blood of Jesus and your sins are forgiven, you can walk into the presence of God. You can walk into the throne room. You can have a conversation with God, and you're not going to get fried. Hello? So if Christ lives in you, it says, the life which you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God. It changes, church. We can't be Christians and then not live by faith. It goes hand in hand. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Your life is not just walking to an altar once and coming and making Jesus Christ your Savior, and then that's it. You're just going to kind of live your life from now on and end up in heaven someday. It's not that. There's so much more, because if He comes to live in you, okay, then you're going to live a life by faith. You say, well, Pastor, that's scary. It's glorious. Because it means you're putting all your faith and hope and trust in Him, not in the world, not in your abilities, not in your situations. I don't know about y'all, but I make mistakes. Is anybody in here ever make any mistakes? Or are y'all all holy and already got it? If you think you don't make any mistakes, well, then that's the biggest mistake, because you're full of pride and you're a liar. Just ask somebody around you if you make any mistakes. You know, we all do. We all need Jesus. We all need repentance. We all need the blood in our lives. Amen. That's how we live our lives, by faith, that He forgives us and we go on. Well, I want you to turn now to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to go through these. I'm going to try to get through them all this morning. About, it says, if you're in Christ, there's certain benefits that are yours. If you're in Christ, there's benefits that are yours. How many of y'all like benefits? I like benefits. I do. It says in Ephesians 1:3. Now, some of these I went over last week, but I'm going to go touch them all just a little bit this morning. It says, blessed is the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, English teachers and everybody else, and that you don't have to be an English teacher to know this, but has is past tense. If he has blessed you, that means you're already blessed. That means you've already received it. You has been blessed. That's really bad English, but you get my point. Y'all with me? It's past tense. It's already been given to you. You've already been endowed. He says you have been blessed, and you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. But where? Where's it at? Now look, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Where? What does it say? Oh, in heavenly places. Yes, in Christ. Because it says, blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In heaven today, you would be so shocked, all of you that are sons of God. You would be so shocked if right now you could just zip to heaven, see it, and zip back. Because when you stepped in the courts of heaven, you're talking about an innumerable multitude of angels who would say, oh, sons of God, they're here. You say, oh, come on, Pastor, I mean, it's just me, you know. Golly gee. We tend to be humble country people, you know, unless we're going to fight over something. And we're not like most people in the world. But I want to tell you something. You don't even understand, if you were taken out of this realm and taken into the spiritual realm, how you're viewed and how heaven sees you. What rights and benefits that are yours. I could go up right now, knock on the door of the White House, and they probably wouldn't let me in. But if I had a position in the White House, I'd walk up and knock on the door and never expect to not be turned to be turned down, right? Because that was where my position is. If I worked for the CIA, I could walk right into the CIA headquarters. Y'all with me? If my status was that, but without that piece of paper, without that authority, I can't go in there. When you understand who you are in Jesus, it gives you the rights to walk into the King of Kings, to the throne of heaven, to the benefits that are in heaven, because you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You already have the rights and privileges to go there. But if you don't, you don't get nothing. Can you imagine this? I was going to try to just shake your brain a little bit. Imagine that the Bible says that angels long to be sons of God. And that they look into the privileges that you have and are amazed. The Bible also says that the saints at the end are going to judge the world. And they'll judge the angels. So can you imagine you're standing there and you get the angel that killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night? And you're supposed to judge him? What are you going to say? Well done. Did a good job there, boy. I mean, you're going to argue with him? Well, I think he could have got 186,000. I'm just telling you, the position, you don't have any earthly idea. Our little brains can't, because we look at this world and we look at this economy and we look at our positions and our statuses in life and what income you're making and comparing ourselves with somebody that's wealthy, and we try to compare ourselves on this earth when you skip what you've already got in heaven. And if we would learn to walk as sons of God on the face of this earth, I'm not talking about haughty. I'm not talking about, because the principles of God don't work like that. The principles of God work in love, mercy, and grace. I'm not talking about going out and exercising and saying, hey, you know who I am. Yeah. You can't puff your chest up on this earth. You can in heaven, but you can't on earth. Can you imagine Moses walking up to you and saying, man, what was it like to go to church in those days? To worship God and to feel the presence like that with everybody. Imagine Moses coming up and asking a question like that. He never has experienced this. Moses never got to experience what it was like to walk on this earth with Jesus in his life. Moses never got to walk knowing what it was like to have his sins forgiven. Oh, they made blood sacrifices and they tried to make the atonement, but you always had to worry that if you did anything wrong, you were going to be in error. So he knew he was going to be in error. He never got to experience that. Can you imagine Noah walking up to you, Chad, saying, "Man, what was it like?" He built an ark and he did something amazing, but he never had the Spirit of God into him. See, church, you got to understand the in Christ realities of what Jesus has bought and given you today. What's your privileges? What is, you've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to dig into this thing and you've got to grab hold of it. I'm just giving you some ice, little tips of the icebergs this morning. Verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame before him? Do you understand what the blood of Jesus has done for you? Why do we live in shame and guilt when repentance is there for us to wash all of our sins away? Why do we live, let the devil use and plague our past and come into our lives and say, listen, you're never going to be much for God because you did this or you did that. Why do we let the devil do that to us and put those thoughts in our head? Why do we let the prophets of the devil speak to us? When the truth is, if you would repent and turn to Jesus, he says he'd wash all your sins away and that you would be holy and without blame before him in love. Without blame means without blame. You can go look it up. Without blame means they can't find nothing on you. There ain't no dirt on you. They can't pull up this piece of paper and say, somebody can't come up and say, look at this, what he did over here. Ain't no blame. Ain't nothing out there. It's erased. Whew. Y'all don't seem too excited about that. Verse 5 says, in Ephesians 1, 5 says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will. Now, I mean, my son sits over there. My daughter, she's back there. And I'll tell you this much, my son can be wrong, but he's my son. And you better not mess with my son. You better not mess with my daughter. She can be wrong, but she's my daughter. Blood's thick. How do you think God feels about you? How do you think God feels about you? You think that God's going to say, well, let's fry them a little bit and see, throw some cancer on them, see if they won't turn. That is the dumbest theology I've ever heard in my life. When the Bible time after time after time says, he's your son, he loves you, wants you to come home to him. Story of the prodigal son. He's gone out and he's done everything wrong, but he comes home and the father runs out, kisses him and says, put all the good stuff on him. God wants to wrap you in a robe. God wants to put a ring on your finger. God wants to put new shoes on your feet. He don't want to smell pig. Come on. There's probably a reason why he did that. He said, man, you stink. Right, bring another robe. Put it on him. My Lord, get this pig off of him. Been in the pig pen alive. God wants to clean you up. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to bring you up on the porch with him. And if you read the story of the prodigal son over there in Luke 15, you'll see that the father ran to the son. He saw him. He was looking down the road. Listen to me. God's always looking for you to come home. God's not mad at you. He's looking at you to come home. He's wanting you to come home. He's wanting you to turn your heart to him. Hello? Why? Because you're his son. When the prodigal son came home, he was still his son. He had all kinds of wrong thinking in him. He just wanted to come home and just be a servant. God said, you're not a servant, you're a son. A son's a son. Quit taking the servant mentality. Quit taking the slave mentality. Don't let yourself be sold out by the devil. Don't let the devil sell you out and say, well, you're a son of God. Now, your authority lies in heaven, not on this earth. You can't go walk into the bank and say, listen, I'm a son of God. I need to take out a withdrawal. And don't cut no mustard down here. Remember, we're just passing through. Listen to me. We're just passing through. I don't know how it all works, but, you know, I hope I get to be in the Bible college when we get to heaven. Because the way I got it figured is, you know, we worship God for, you know, Bible says 1,000 years or whatever. I mean, that's pretty awesome if you're going to stand there for 1,000 years and worship God. But I just really think there's going to be a lot of people get to heaven. And I don't think when you walk through the gates that you have all knowledge. I don't believe it. I mean, you can get some scriptures and try to prove me wrong, but I just don't believe you just walk through them. I mean, your eyes are going to remember. You're going to see heaven, a lot of revelation, a lot of reality, a lot of the things you heard about and all you're going to see. But I believe there's still got to be Bible college in heaven. And I just want to be a teacher. And just preach every day. And say, look, he's right out there. That's who I'm talking about. Be so easy. Angels, come in here. Get your sword out. Show them. It'll be fun. But you're a son of God and your authority lies in heaven. You're accepted. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You're already accepted. You're not trying to gain acceptance. You're not trying to do good works so that God will love you. You do good works because you love God. You're not trying to gain his acceptance. You're not trying to say, oh, listen, if we went to church and then God, I get a gold star, get a little hickey by my name. I'm already accepted. I'm already in. Hello? Verse 7 says, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace. Folks, nowhere, you read all throughout the Old Testament for 4,000 years of history, nobody got their sins forgiven because they asked. You had to do something to get your sins forgiven. And then Jesus comes on the scene and everything changes. Comes on the scene, everything changes where you can go to him and say, forgive me for I've sinned. And he washes your sins away. Repentance is the greatest thing in the world. You know what keeps you from repentance? Pride. You know what pride is? Not wanting to admit you're wrong. I love the passage where the Pharisee's standing there before the altar and he says, Lord, you know, I thank you that I've not done this and I've not done that and I've not done this and I've not done that. And then he looks down at this other old sinner over there and he says, and thank you that I'm not as bad as that guy. And the other guy's over there beating on his chest saying, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Folks, that's the way we got to be in life. You want the forgiveness of your sins? Forget about pride. Forget about what you look like. Run to the altar of God and say, man, forgive me, Lord, I am an idiot. The moment in your life you say, well, listen to me. If you say, well, you know, that may not have been right, but, you know, at least I'm not like, it's, the minute that thought comes to you, folks, I want to tell you something. You got a devil speaking to you, an old religious demon speaking into your head, and you better run to the altar and throw yourself on it. Jesus, I believe, gave the illustration. He says, if you run over to the rock and you throw yourself on the rock, then you'll be broken. But if you let the rock fall on you, ooh, it's going to smush. That's a paraphrase from Robert. But I'd rather throw myself on the rock than have the rock fall on me. Amen? Ephesians 1 and 11 says, in him we have obtained an inheritance. Everybody say, in him. Do you know you don't have to work for an inheritance? You just have to be born right. Did you hear what I said? You don't have to work for an inheritance. You just have to be born right. Born in the right place. Born to the right family. You get an inheritance. Hello? It says in Christ. Everybody say in him. Say it again. Say in him. One more time. Say in him. We have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance? It's not a lotto where the lucky number wins and they really get blessed. Y'all with me? It's an inheritance. And the Father has enough to go around that everybody gets blessed more than you could ever imagine. Why? Why would you get an inheritance? Why would you get an inheritance? What would you do to have deserved an inheritance? What is it? Who? You're just in the family, right? You're a son. Just born right. Born again. You say, well, I didn't get born good on this earth. I ain't got much of an inheritance. Well, scratch your way through this life. Let God bless you down here because he said he'd bless you on this earth. You don't have to just walk in what your inheritance was. You can change your destiny down here. But I want to tell you something. I'm living for my inheritance on the other side. Because that's forever. I want to leave this earth and my family to be blessed. And I want there to be something that my children and grandchildren are blessed from after I leave this earth. But I want to tell you something. I'm waiting for heaven. And when they join me in heaven and step on the other side, we'll say, Papa, boy, you did good. Verse 12, Ephesians 1:12 says, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Can you believe that Jesus likes to talk about you? And likes to sit around heaven and say, look how old Chad's doing. Look how old Brian's doing over here. Oh, Maggie, look what she's doing over here. Likes to praise. It's to the, you're his praise and glory. They say, well, Lord, I mean, you didn't get much when you got me. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's not the way he sees it. It's not the way he's looking at it. He's looking at it like he got the greatest thing in the world because he got your soul. He's excited about it. When you got saved, the Bible says all the angels went to rejoicing and jumping and shouting that day. And Jesus then began to praise. You're his praise and glory. Wow. Wow. Verse 13 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him you also trusted if you heard the word of truth. I'm praying right now that each and every one of you are hearing the word of truth and it's sinking into your ears and changing something on the inside of you, changing some image on the inside of you, that truth. But it says the truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of what you got when you were saved. And he said, so much I want this truth in you, so much I want you to receive a tree of life in you and have this truth in you and you not lose it. So much do I want that, I'm going to seal it with the Holy Spirit so you don't lose it. Wow. The same Spirit that knocked Jesus out of the grave, the same Spirit that came into his body and resurrected him, is your seal, is upon you, is got it all there so that you won't forget what you got in your salvation. Wow, he didn't just, you know, do something cheap. Gave us the Holy Ghost to seal it in us. Keep reminding us, excuse me. You're a son of God. Act like one. Excuse me, that's not what the Word of God says. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. You need to wake up and hear what God's saying because this is good. Tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me, don't go there. Don't go right there right now. It's not going to be good. Folks, all day long, you know, and I'm not trying to be a doomsdayist here or, a naysayer, but all day long we walk. It's a miracle that any of us stay alive. It is. You could be killed in a car wreck. You could be, there could be so many numerous things in this earth. Life is so fragile. Life is so fragile. My wife and I were in San Antonio on Friday, and I missed the turn that would have cut off about 5 or 6 minutes of where I was going in San Antonio, and I missed the turn. I had to go a different way. And I started to get, you know, kind of miffed about it and say, you know, and I said, well, whatever. And she said, traffic's not too bad right now, but it's going up the road. You know, we take the little deal. And I said, I just hate going up here because I just don't like that turnaround. And it's kind of dangerous. And so, you know, we just prayed our way through and went around there. And we got over there. There was a wreck right where I was going to be. And if I'd have been earlier, I'd have been right in the middle of it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And here I'm thinking I'm making mistakes and I'm really going the right way. Thank you that you're ordering my steps. And I'm wanting to get mad about the mistake and wanting to try to correct the mistake, which really was the right thing to do. Folks, we just don't know. I'm telling you, life here on this earth, it's fragile. It's fragile. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm glad I'm sealed with his ticket on my life, saying that I'm going to live out my days on this earth and ain't nothing stealing it from me. That I'm going to fulfill the call and the destiny upon my life because I confess it over my life. I speak it over my life because that's what his word says. I get that in Christ reality in my life that nothing is going to come upon me because I'm sealed in the Holy Ghost and that he's going to get me where I need to be because I'm believing that every day. Y'all hearing me? Okay. I gave you those. There's more, but I'm going to stop right there on those. There's the realities of what your benefits are as a Christian, the in Christ realities. But now I want to take a different turn for these next few weeks and tell you, how are you going to activate it? You see, it's one thing for me to say, this is what you get. But I need to tell you, how do you get it? How do you apply it to your life? How do you make it applicable? Y'all with me? So I want you to go to the book, back to the book of Proverbs. I want you to find Proverbs chapter 15. Because it's one thing to sit here right now and hear about it in church. It's one thing even if you took some notes down. But if you just don't even read the notes or you don't keep digging and you don't keep yourself hungry, what will happen is you won't remember what I even said by Wednesday. Y'all with me? You won't remember. Because life will steal it right out of you. The Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal the word from you. He's waiting right outside to take it from you. That's the battle. That's the battle. Proverbs 15:4. Here we go. One way. There's no one way, first way, second way, third way. I'm just giving you ways that you can activate the tree of life, activate the revelation in your life. Number one, Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Everybody said, Pastor, couldn't you come up with something better than that? I mean, golly, tell me how I just had to pray and ascend to the third heaven and get it and come back down. I didn't have to work for it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it, in the tongue, breaks the spirit. Y'all hearing me? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue, a tongue that speaks good things, the word of God, good things, it's going to be a tree of life into you. Your tongue is going to set your course in life for how you're going to walk in the principles of God. If your tongue is perverse, it's going to break your spirit. Hope deferred, right? What does it say? Hope deferred, it breaks your spirit. Makes your heart sick, right? A broken spirit, who can bear? Do you realize that your own tongue is breaking your faith? Your own speech and what you say out of your mouth is either setting you on a course on fire to go out and to just be so on fire with the things of God, or it's breaking you and causing you to be discouraged. The other thing, that little piece of flesh hanging out of your mouth right there. Listen to me. Not how you were raised. Not what your inheritance is on this earth. Not what the weatherman said. Not what the school teacher said. Not what the parents said. No, your life is dictated right here. What happens is you get around people who speak negative. You get around people, whether it's your family or whatever, who speaks this away. You learn that behavior and then you speak that away. And then it sets a course and you wonder why your course is not different than their course. It's because your tongue has set the same course that they set because that's what you learned. Woo! Look at the person beside you and say, your tongue gets you in trouble. There was a message out years ago that was real popular, and it's still out today, the power of positive thinking. Well, you can think positive all you want to, but unless your tongue lines your life up with what the Word of God says, you're not really going to have any success. Because thinking positively, you can sit there all day long and say, good things are going to happen, good things are going to happen, good things are going to happen. Well, why are good things going to happen? So you got to define why are good things going to happen. If I was a bull rider or a bronc rider, my favorite scripture would be Deuteronomy 28 that says, I'm the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. That would be my favorite scripture. Right? I'd be sitting on the bull saying, man, I am above and not beneath, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's what'd be coming out of my mouth. You see, your tongue's setting your course. And the minute your tongue lines up with what this world says, well, then you're just going to go that away. And if you speak it long enough, it's going to break your spirit. You're going to be broken. The perverse tongue is going to break your spirit. And you're not going to have any faith. It's not about brainwashing yourself. It's about your tongue setting your course. But your tongue has to be lined up with what the Word says. It does not do any good if you do not know what the Word is or the Word says. You have nothing really to align your tongue with. Faith is activated by your tongue speaking, your heart hearing what your tongue's saying, because the heart stirs. The heart is not just your beating life. Your heart, the Bible says, it is the part that's got the believer in it. The faith producer in it. Hello? Proverbs 4:23 says, all the issues of life come out of your heart. I've had people say things out of their mouth and I said, well, that's really what you believe. Well, no, I just said that's not really what I believe. No, you do believe it because you said it out of your mouth. It came out of your heart. And if in your heart you believe that you're not going to make it, I hate to tell you, you're not going to make it. If you believe in your heart that you're worthless, that you got no future, folks, I want to tell you something. That is what is going to come out of your mouth, and that's what you're going to have. Now, there's a few things in life you can't change, such as I can say all day long, I want to be 6'5". I'm going to be 6'5". I'm 6'5". I am 6'5". And that ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. But I can say in life, Lord, I thank you that you give me favor. Psalms 5 and 12 says that I have favor. And wherever where I go, I get the favor as if I was 6'5". That's scriptural. That's scriptural. You go into a hostile environment and you say, Lord, I just believe you. I got a shield of favor all over me, man. I'm walking in today with favor. Favor's all over my life because that's what you said. I have favor. And so when I walk in here, I'm not intimidated by anybody because I have favor. So they're going to perceive the favor of God upon my life. Thank you for it, Jesus. And then I always like to throw in, and if not, if somebody wants to challenge me, I thank you that I'm a giant killer by the Holy Ghost. The Lord, according to 1 Samuel 17, I sling stones like David and I'll knock their head plumb off. One of my favorite scriptures, and see, now here I'm caught with my iPad and I don't have my Bible up here. Holy cow. Psalms 2. Ooh, let's see how smart I am. Psalms 2. I can't think of what the verse is. There's only 12? Okay, come on. We can do this. Here we go. Proverbs 7, two, seven. I will declare and decree. This is David speaking. The Lord has said unto me. See, David speaking. He said, I will declare and decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask me and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 9. And thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. I can't pull up the translation. I don't remember which one it is. It says actually that I will bust them in the mouth. Yeah, it's my cowboy Bible. I read that one day and I said, Lord, you said you'd bust them in the mouth. So I pray for favor, and if not, then I go to Psalms 2:9 and said, Lord, I think you're gonna bust them in the mouth. That's scriptural. That's how you line your tongue up. He said, that's terrible. Praying to bust somebody in the mouth. Man, I didn't say it. He did. I'm just putting my tongue in line with his word. Are y'all with me here? What are you saying out of your mouth? Your tongue is setting your course and your tongue is setting your destiny. It's telling you where you need to go. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. One day I asked the Lord, how come it didn't say life and death's in the power of the tongue? It says death and life's in the power of the tongue. And he says, because more people will speak death than they'll speak life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your tongue's going to produce fruit. Listen to me. In heaven, in the courts of heaven right now, I don't know how it all actually works, but your words are being heard in heaven. I don't know if there's a filter on just general conversation, but when you speak in any form of a commanding or authoritative voice, it's like it goes to heaven and they're hearing the words, and then upon what you say, then heaven's going to move. Why not? You're a son of God. If you don't believe at first you're a son of God, well then, no matter what, you're still out there like a child with a machine gun. Damage is being done. If heaven's listening to your words and you have authority in heaven because you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that then when you as sons of God are speaking upon earth, something's being recorded in heaven and something is acting upon what you said because your tongue said it. You're a son of God. Your tongue said it. Something's going to act. I sometimes believe the angels are standing around saying, do we really do that, Lord? They've got to be a very difficult time because they have people giving them commands unknowingly that are just flying up. Wow. good example is David when he was with his mighty men. And he was on the run from Saul. And they were encamped and he said, I wish I just had a cup of water from the well at that certain town. And three of his mighty men heard it. They fought through a whole troop of men, killed people, went to the well, got water and brought it back to David. He said, here, David, here's water from the well. Now, I'm putting a little paraphrase in here so y'all can go read it. But he said, David got the cup and said, you guys killed everybody and you fought and your lives are at risk and you did all this for this cup of water just to give it to me? And they said, well, we heard you say that you really wanted it. We wanted to get it for you. And the Bible said David poured it out on the ground because he said, that's too precious of a gift of what y'all gave to me. And something like that would only be for the Lord, not for me. And he poured it out. Now you think about that for a minute. You're laying around your house and you go to speak in words and angels want to move on your command because the Bible says angels move on the commands of the words of the saints. And they want to move on your behalf. And they're willing to go fight through a troop just to get you a cool drink of water. And if right now you're saying in yourself, oh, Pastor, but that, you know, it's just me. You don't have any in Christ realities. You're not believing who you are in Christ. A son of God's a son of God. There's not levels of sons of God. If I had four sons, there's not, one may be the eldest, but there's not levels of sons. They're all sons of Robert. Are y'all with me? You know, there's not levels of sons of God. There's not length of time that you've been a son of God makes you more of a son of God than somebody that just got saved today. No, the privileges and the rights are yours instantaneously when you come into the kingdom. But your tongue's lining up your course, and whatever you're saying out of your mouth is what's going to dictate your life. And if you're walking around saying, I'll never make it, I'll never be able to go to college, I'll never be able to do this, I'll never have a good job, I'll never do this, I'll probably die off when I'm young, everybody else in my family died off, I'll probably die off too. Folks, I'm telling you what, you're going to die off early and you ain't never going to do anything. Because your tongue is setting your course, and death and life is in it. This little piece of meat hanging out of your mouth. Such a minor piece. Not your brain. Not your eye. This flap of skin hanging out of your mouth. Are y'all following this? You want a tree of life in you, you have got to line your tongue up to the Word of God. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. There's no shortcuts. Your tongue has to follow the Word of God. The most hurtful words that people can say to somebody is, you know, like, you know, I hate you or you're stupid or whatever. Those words hurt. Why? Because they're coming from the thing that is actually dictating life. It's coming out of your mouth. It goes out and it launches out like daggers and spears. Hello. Let me touch another scripture. I'm about to close, but let me go with one more. Go to the book of James chapter 3. Y'all just be prepared. Go home, toughen yourself up because I got some more on the tongue here. You ain't going to get off real easy. In James chapter 3 verse 1 it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that they shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, though they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Your tongue is the rudder to your life. It's setting the course of your life. Death and life is in it. I'll even go this far. I truly believe that if you get angry with somebody and you speak ill out of your mouth towards them, I truly believe that you're loosing demons from hell to go and attack that person's life. I believe if you could see what really happens at your command, I believe we'd be shocked. We'd be so ashamed at what we do. But when we speak ill out, we're either going to give place to the devil or we're going to give place to the Word of God. In the Old Testament, which, you know, maybe we need to go back to this, but in the Old Testament, if you cursed somebody, I don't mean cussed them. There's a difference between cussing and cursing. Do y'all know that? Cussing's just vulgar language coming out of your mouth. It's just adjectives that you don't come up with that you got off the street. That's cussing. Cursing cannot even have a cuss word in it. And you're pronouncing something over a person's life that's contrary to the Word of God. That's cursing. And if we could see how hell lines up with the curses that we pronounce and what really is loosed out of our tongue when we do it, we'd be ashamed at how many demons we loosed from the pit of hell towards a person's life. I'm telling you, if you can learn to get enough self-control that if something goes wrong and somebody does something to you, the Bible says that we're to speak and pray for them and ask God to bless them. That's sometimes a difficult thing to do because we don't want to bless them. I want to curse them. Right? But I sure am ashamed to think that demons are working on my behalf. That don't seem right. But in the Old Testament, if somebody cursed you, you had the right to challenge them and then ultimately fight to the death. So if you went up to somebody and said, "Hey, I understand you pronounced a curse over my family." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you take it back, you break it, or we're going to war." He said, "No, okay, we're not." Then swords came out and we fought to the death because they so knew how the tongue worked that if a family produced a curse on another family, he knew that if that wasn't broken, that it would go down the lineage forever in that family and that curse would perpetuate. What Christians we don't understand is because things that are done to us in the past and ways that we're raised that are wrong, we take on the nature of sons of the devil, not sons of God. And we issue curses out of our mouth unknowingly. And until we become aware of it and say, "Wait a minute, Lord, this is not the way I want to live," that curse will perpetuate itself in your life. I grew up, you know, in a ranching family and around hard country guys. And I mean, there's some things I cannot even tell you out of my mouth that I grew up hearing out of my mouth about how days would go. There was absolutely nothing but a pronouncement from hell out of people's mouths. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard them too. You know? And people say it all the time, but they don't realize they're setting their course. Are y'all with me? If you want a tree of life in you, you have got to get this tongue lined up with the Word of God. You've got to watch out and make sure that you are an agent from heaven, a son of God from heaven, speaking God's word out of your mouth, not an agent from hell, speaking a curse out of your mouth. Best thing to do in those situations is don't say anything until you can get something good coming out of your mouth. Hello? Hello? Put your Bibles up. I'm through. I see you can't take any more. that I've driven you to the brink, and you're like, I sure will. And stand to your feet if you would. Can I have my prayer team come down for today? Now listen to me. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, all y'all that are listening by radio or listening by television today or YouTube. Listen to me just for a minute. You got to get your tongue under control. Now, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. But this is what you got to do. I want us to pray right now. If you're not in agreement with me, just don't say anything. But if you want to get in agreement with this prayer, then I believe that God will hear our prayer right now. And he said we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's the one that brings things to our remembrance. So right now, if you'd be willing to be gutsy enough to pray a prayer with me in your heart and say, Holy Spirit, this week, show me where my tongue is producing death and not life. Then you know what? He will. He will tap you on the shoulder and he'll say, don't say that. Say this. And the goal is by next Sunday to just become aware. Listen to me. You're not going to get your... If you've had a tongue that has been destroying cities your whole life, then you're not going to get it all straight in 1 week. What you're going to do, though, is I'm praying that by next Sunday when we come here, that you're going to have an awareness. Something's going to pop this week. Something's going to happen this week, and the Holy Ghost is going to say, ooh, don't say that. When you've been waking up every morning and saying, ah, another day, I hope I can make it through this day, he's going to say, ah, don't say that. Say, ooh, I'm blessed today. I'm blessed in the city and I'm blessed in the field. Everywhere I go today, I'm blessed, Lord, because that's what your word says. Thank you, Jesus, for life. And he changed your word. When everything that you've been saying out of your mouth that's saying things are going to go bad, you're changing and starting to just be aware of it and starting to change it and just starting to get caught and say, whoo, don't say that. Up, take that and back. Put it back in my mouth, Lord. Let this one go. If you're just getting to that place, folks, you're just making leaps and bounds into the good direction. So can we believe that? Are y'all with me on this? Because I want to pray and I know God's going to do a miracle and he's going to do what we pray. So if you're with me, I'm going to pray a general prayer over you, but you got to get your heart in this prayer. Amen? So Father, right now, I pray over each and every person here. I pray over every tongue in this building, Lord. That, Lord, that they're going to grab hold of this word. And that our tongue, that as maybe has just been flopping and had us in every direction in the world. And our rudder's just been going to the left and the right and the left and the right. And our speech right now, I just declare that, Lord, but that you said we were sealed in the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this whole week. Just bring into our attention time and time and time again what we need to line up our speech and how we need our speech to be. And what we need to be saying out of our mouth and how we need to get that under control. Now, Lord, we set ourselves right now and we set our agreement right now. And we believe you for it. We believe you for it, Lord. And we declare it so right now in Jesus' name. We declare it so right now in Jesus' name. Now, church, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never made him the Lord of your life, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to ask him to come into your life. Now's the time to line your tongue up for the very first time in the best direction you could ever do and make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. The Bible's real simple. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking you to have Jesus come and live in your heart. It says if you'd confess with your mouth and you would believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would declare that he is the Son of God, that he died on a cross for you, but he arose on the third day, declaring and showing that he was the Son of God. Then he'd come into your life and he'd live in you. And he'd bless you. And he'd wash your sins away. And he'd make your life a new life. And you'd be a new creation in him. So if anyone in here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what I want to do is I want to ask you to come up here up front to one of our prayer people at the end of service and get them to pray with you. Just get them, just go up to them and say, today's the day I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my life. It's that simple, church. It's that simple. So, Father, I pray over every person here today that as we leave this building, as we go out into this world, Lord, I thank you that you're going to show us exactly the path you want us to walk. You're going to open up doors. You're going to make ways that seem like there was no ways. You're going to just do miracles in our midst. Lord, we declare our tongues lined up with you. And Lord, we give you praise for it and thanks for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Church, God bless you. Our prayer team's up here for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come on down. God bless you today.